Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, October 23rd. I don't know why I'm so excited on Mondays. I probably shouldn't be, but you know what? It was an awesome day of football yesterday, and we're going to recap all the biggest takeaways for you on the show today. And we will start with, well, I guess a surprising game. To be honest with you, I knew that both teams weren't particularly good in this game, but one of them was much better than the other. Chicago defeating the Raiders 30-12. And how about Tyson Bagent? Now, it wasn't a rock star performance, but the thing about it is it was a very efficient performance. He showed up 21 of 29, didn't really push the ball vertically, but didn't really have to, did throw a passing score, moved the chains with his legs as well. I don't think there's a quarterback controversy here, but Tyson Bagent looks like the type of player who could be a nice backup at the pro level. And I don't mean that in any way as a bad thing. Bro, if I was a backup in the NFL, that's a pretty darn good job. You know, that'll make you some dough over the long term. And yes, I just broed you. But anyway, solid performance there. Deontay Foreman, though, come on, dude. 16 for 89 and two scores on the ground. And oh, wait, there's more. 3 for 31 and a score as a runner. He's the number one fantasy running back as of right now. Christian McCaffrey looks like he's playing tonight, so maybe he won't be any longer, but we shall see. Either way, I'll talk more about Foreman tomorrow. This should have been Roshan, but it wasn't. No, we'll talk more about him tomorrow. On the other side, it was a mess. At least Jacoby Myers, 7 for 50 and a score, continued to play well. And Devontae Adams, I mean, honestly, this is the best you can do when every single target is contested, essentially. 7 for 57. It's not terrible in PPR. I know you're concerned about Josh Jacobs. Just remember, if your instinct when a player is underperforming is to trade them, your instinct is to lose money, because that's essentially what you're doing. You're losing out on that investment if you're going to trade him away right now. If you have that instinct, wait until he has a good game, then trade him away, but chances are you're not going to want to after he has a good game. That was a mess at quarterback. Brian Hoyer started. He was terrible. Aiden O'Connell came in. He wasn't terrible. He wasn't amazing, but he wasn't terrible. We'll see how much more time Jimmy G misses. By the way, Michael Mayer, welcome to the tight end merry-go-round. Mayer just 2 for 13. He did play a lot in this one, but 2 for 13. All right, on to Cleveland in Indianapolis. A barn burner with Cleveland pulling it out 39-38. On the Cleveland side, Deshaun Watson probably shouldn't have played this game. It was a weird scenario where he was in briefly in concussion protocol, but cleared protocol, but then didn't come back in, and it almost certainly has to be related to the shoulder issue. They need something, because P.J. Walker, I mean, it's admirable, but he doesn't throw touchdown passes. You know, he kind of moves the chains a little bit, but not really, not very efficient in this game. In fact, 47% completion rate. That is Tebow-esque right there. However, they didn't need it because the run game was clicking. Initially, it was Jerome Forty ripped off the long touchdown. Did leave this game with an ankle issue, so we'll talk about him more tomorrow, because we're going to have to talk about Kareem Hunt. The play wasn't particularly good, but he scored two rushing touchdowns. So we have both him and Pierre Strong as possible candidates to discuss on the show tomorrow. The initial indication is that, you know, we could expect some missed time here for Ford. I don't think he goes to IR, but we shall see. On the other side, Gardner Minshew showed up big, 305 and 2. Also rushed for two scores. We will have to talk about him tomorrow. And Josh Downs, he's available in entirely too many leagues. 5 for 125 and a score. And honestly, that 59-yarder was a thing of beauty, and really he's benefiting from Gardner Minshew. Now, Michael Pittman only had two catches, and if we would have come into the week and I said, hey, guess what? Michael Pittman's going to have two catches. We all would have been like, yeah, screw that, not starting him. No, two catches for 83 yards and a touchdown. Hopefully those numbers increase. They really prioritize the ground here. Jonathan Taylor, the training wheels are off now. He had 21 touches. Looked like vintage Jonathan Taylor. Now, Zach Moss had 19 touches, so expect that timeshare to continue. Next on the list, Buffalo, New England. The beauty to the NFL. Buffalo is a superior team to New England. But any given Sunday, and especially within your division, things like this could happen. 29-25, Patriots win this one. Mac Jones, hey, this is the best game of his season so far. One of the better games of his career, to be honest with you. 25 of 30, 272 and 2 through the air. Big part of it, I think there's some stability at wide receiver now. Kendrick Bourne got to move to the outside. He goes 6 for 63 and a touchdown. DeMario Douglas plays in the slot, 4 for 54. They had Parker out there. They had Tyquan Thornton out there. They had Jalen Reagor out there. But really, it's Douglas impressed. But Bourne has been, he's been having the season of his career. This is definitely a career year. On the ground, Ramondre doesn't do much, but 6 catches, 51 yards. That's the thing I pointed out last week. If his involvement is going to be like that in the passing game, he's going to be an RB2 and maybe an RB1 in some weeks. On the other side, even in a loss like this, Josh Allen still got it done for fantasy. 265 and 2. He did have an interception. He's going to do that. But then he ran for a score as well. James Cook definitely stood out for me in this game, especially as a pass catcher. 3 for 46 and a score. Ran 13 times for 56 yards, so it's 16 touches. Of course, no Damian Harris this week, so Latavius Murray, 6 touches. That's good for James Cook. Dalton Kincaid, 8 for 75. We're going to definitely talk about him tomorrow. You got the Gabe Davis, 1 for 6 game, so there's that. And, of course, Diggs had a Diggs-like game, 6 for 58 and a touchdown. Moving on to Washington and the Giants, the sacks continue here. On the Washington side, Sam Howell, he has now been sacked 40 times. Obviously, Washington lost this one 14-7. He's been sacked 40 times, though. That's insane. He was not a good play if you stepped up and played him this week. 249, no passing scores. It was an ugly one. It was an ugly one. He basically forgot that Terry McLaurin existed until the second half. Now, McLaurin was fine, 6 for 90. He's really good, last I checked. But Sam Howell was not. As far as the backfield is concerned, this was not a Brian Robinson script, so don't panic too much. I mean, at least he got the touchdown, so it wasn't a disastrous week. It wasn't a good week, obviously. And they did use some Chris Rodriguez, but that was a little bit later in the game, so I wouldn't worry too much there. Saquon looked amazing. Honestly, he did briefly leave. He called it a hyperextended elbow. He said he's going to be okay. But he goes for 118 scrimmage yards and a touchdown. He's had racked up 216 scrimmage yards since coming back from the ankle issue. Darren Waller, 7 for 98 and a touchdown. Finally a touchdown, A. B, over the last 2 weeks, really good. And C, what's the common denominator there? Not Daniel Jones. Tyrod Taylor played pretty good here. Now, this is another game where he moves the chains. Now, it's not spectacular. He's not putting up 90 points a week. But is he better for the team? I don't know. I mean, we're turning into sports talk radio with that type of discussion. Call in now. But they sure look better to me. Just saying. Anyway, Darren Waller, though, doing what we had hoped he was going to do all season. Otherwise, there's really not much here. I'm not going to go too overboard with Jalen Hyatt. I don't think it's sustainable production. And I'm not going to freak out too much over Wandale Robinson, even though I had him in a lot of DFS lineups. It was about 50% exposure to him this week, so that did not work out very well. Anyway, moving on to Atlanta and Tampa Bay. All right, let's talk about the big issue here first, because the Falcons did win 16-13, but a lot of people complaining about Bijan Robinson. There are a couple things that could play out, or that played out here, and I don't know which one of them is which. One is that essentially this popped up in the morning, and I think this is the most likely. This popped up in the morning, he came in, he thought he could play through it. The team decided to be safe with him. And for some reason, he got a carry at the end of the game. I don't know. If you have a headache in the NFL, they take it seriously. I don't know why he had a carry at the end of the game, but whatever. Second thing, that's a cover story. And they actually knew about issues earlier in the week and just didn't report them. If that was the case, then yeah, they're going to get in some trouble. Third thing, this was and this is the long shot, by the way. This was a disciplinary thing for something that Bijan did wrong. I don't think this is the case. He's not that type of player, from a character standpoint. So that would be the least likely. I think the first one is the most likely. I just can't explain why he got a carry at the end of the game. I don't know. It's weird. I'm not trying to explain it, though. Tyler Allgeier was not particularly effective without him out there. But, you know, another decent game for Drake London, 6-for-54. Another decent game for Kyle Pitts, 3-for-47. I know you're going to be pissed off about that if you hate Kyle Pitts. But honestly, it's better than 3-for-32. He gets you another point and a half over that. And, you know, there are going to be games where they throw more than 25 times. Desmond Ridder continues to be a turnover machine. He didn't throw any interceptions here, but 3 lost fumbles. I mean, he's got 11 turnovers on the season. 9 of them have come in the last 4 games. It's not good. On the other side, Mike Evans continues to roll, 6-for-82 and a score. A heavy volume day for Chris Godwin, 12 targets. He caught 6-for-66. I'll take that. And Rashad White, I had some people like, why are you ranking him as a top 20 guy? And it's like, because he's the only guy on that team. And it showed here. He did not run well at all. 13-for-34. So that's a disaster. And I understand why that would catch the ire of many a fantasy manager. However, he did catch 6 balls for 65 yards. 12.5 PPR points right there. I mean, he's a top 20 play. It's not sexy with him, but that 3-down role is very, very important. Moving on to Detroit and Baltimore. Detroit, surprised that they got beat up this badly. 38-6. But even in a game like this where they got destroyed, most of their fantasy assets put up really good performances. Amon-Ra, 13-for-102. Yes, please. 19 targets. Jahmyr Gibbs with no David Montgomery. 11-for-68 and a score. Okay. Oh, 9 catches for 58 yards. All right. I will take 20 touches, especially in a PPR. But, of course, while we did get a glimpse of what he is capable of, remember that a lot of that goes kaput when David Montgomery comes back. So just be aware of that. Sam Laporta, 6-for-52. Thank you very much. I like that as well. I mean, they all showed up. The one problem is Jared Goff. Now, I hope you took me up on my idea of selling high, because guess what? Your sell high window is over. People are not going to be buying him for the same price point this week. So I would not be trying that this week at all. If you have him now, you're kind of stuck with him until the performance is rebounded, and that could happen in their next game. On the other side, Lamar Jackson is tremendous, 357-3, and yeah, let's run for 36 yards and a touchdown. He is as close to 2019 Lamar as we've seen, however, slightly different version. This Lamar is not quite the same runner as he was in 2019, and that's okay because he's still really good, but he is a better passer. The completion rate has been spot on this year. Another game over 70%. Only one game so far this season where he was under 70%. He doesn't quite have that touchdown efficiency that he had in 2019, but who does? That his efficiency was off the charts. But the performance is great. I mean, that was a great fantasy day. Mark Andrews with 2 scores. Giddy up. Zay Flowers didn't get in the end zone, but looked good as usual, 4-for-75. And Odell showing up. We'll talk a little bit about him tomorrow. The one player I'm not going to talk about tomorrow is Gus Edwards, because people are going to see the fantasy numbers and think like, oh, here it is. But let me tell you the stats. Okay, 14-for-64 and a touchdown. That's fine. That's what he would normally do, and that's like a boring RB2. The only reason his numbers pop is he had a catch for 80 yards. That's not going to happen again for Gus Edwards especially. And he ran 6 routes. Justice Hill ran 18. So don't overdo it there with Gus Edwards. Moving on to the next one, Pittsburgh and the Rams. Unbelievable that you couldn't challenge at the end, but whatever. What can you do? The Rams, the backfield, and that's a 24-17 Steelers win. The backfield was a mess. And even after seeing it, I still think it's a bit of a mess. Like, it was a mess going into it. If you avoided it, that's fine. If you started Daryl Henderson, pat yourself on the back. You got RB2 numbers out of him. He goes 18-for-61. Not good, 3.4 yards per carry, but did score a touchdown. Royce Freeman looked the better of the two, 12-for-66. That's 5.5 yards per carry, 12 yards over expectation. But Henderson, with his familiarity with the offense, was the clear preferred back. We'll have to talk about both tomorrow. But Henderson is going to be the pickup. Zach Evans played no offensive snaps in this one, so yay. Puka Nacua bounced back, 8-for-154 on 12 targets. Cooper Kupp, 2-for-29, an uncharacteristically low scoring game for him. But another game where Stafford doesn't even top 30 passing attempts. So I wouldn't get too carried away with Cooper Kupp. The first instinct should not be, should I trade him away? That should not be the first instinct if he's coming off a bad game. On the other side, Najee Harris, welcome to RB2 production. 14 for 53 and a touchdown, 3 for 15. That is double-digit PPR points right there, and a pretty decent number. So, good. Deontay Johnson back, 6 targets, caught 5 for 79. George Pickens, 5 for 107 on 8 targets. It seems like Pickens is now the 1 and Johnson's the 1A. That could change, but the bigger thing here is that Kenny Pickett does place a little bit of a cap on what they can do. It's unfortunate, but that's kind of where we are with that. Let's move on to the Arizona Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks winning 20-10. We'll start on the Seattle side here. We got a Derek dilemma. If you're relatively new to listening to stuff that I do, here is the Derek dilemma. It's named after Derek Henry. And it's when Derek Henry has a decent football day on the ground, but does not score a rushing touchdown and really doesn't do much in the passing game, if anything. So he'll go, let's say he has 18 carries for 95 yards. That's a pretty good day for football. It's not amazing, but it's a pretty good day. For fantasy, if he doesn't score a touchdown and he didn't catch any passes, that is a single-digit scoring day, the Derek dilemma. We weren't in single digits. We did at least hit double digits with Ken Walker, but it doesn't really reflect what we got from a football standpoint. 26 for 105, okay. And then he catches 2 for 6. Okay. So you're telling me we got, what, 13.1 PPR points? Yay. In this matchup, because he didn't score a touchdown. Those are the breaks. Unfortunately, it happens. At least it was double digits. Jake Bobo is pretty good, man. It's a shame that he's buried behind DK Metcalf. Like, when Metcalf comes back, because he basically played DK's role. Had a touchdown, 4 for 61. He's like a dynasty hold for me. Jaxon Smith-Njigba continues to trend up. We'll talk more about him tomorrow. On the other side, lo and behold, a week after everybody was crying about Amari DeMercado, guess what? DeMercado plays 49 snaps. You know how many Keontae Ingram played? 0. Offensive. He did play special teams. Because I know somebody's going to hit me up. Hey, did you know he played special teams? Yeah, okay, great. Cool. DeMercado now, if you somehow weathered the storm and didn't drop him after last week, nice, because I'm going to have to talk about him on waivers. He ended up with 17 touches, 58 rushing yards on 13 attempts, and he caught 4 for 17. So not a bad day. Not a great day, but for guys touching the ball like that. As far as Kyler Murray is concerned, I don't think he is back this upcoming week, but it could be the following week. Well, it's going to pretty much have to be the following week. So we'll talk more about him tomorrow. That's going to help the value of everybody else here. Green Bay, Denver. Broncos picking up the victory, baby. Look at that. 19-17 for Russell Wilson's squad. Russ went 194 and a touchdown. Relatively efficient day for him, 20 of 29, and did run one time for 21 yards. Not a great fantasy day, but, honestly, there were a lot worse performances yesterday. So if you used him, it's not terrible. Cortland Sutton's solid season continued. I'm not going to say it's amazing, but it was pretty solid. He has 5 receiving touchdowns now, 6 for 76 in a score. He had 4 in his previous 2 seasons combined in terms of receiving touchdowns. So that is good. Javonte Williams clearly now is the lead back. Actually looked really good in this game. 15 for 82 and then caught 3 for 14. It wasn't a great fantasy day, but he looked good on the field. So Jaleel McLaughlin is only going to be a deep league hold. Otherwise, I mean, I don't think we can use him at this point. He got outsnapped by Samaje Perine in this game. On the other side, speaking of outsnapped, A.J. Dillon outsnapping, out-touching Aaron Jones. What is going on here? Now, early, it seemed like it was back and forth, like basically a straight-up 50-50 timeshare. Towards the end of the game, that's when we saw a little bit more of Dillon. Dillon looked okay, 15 for 61, caught 2 for 34. Jones looks like he's still hampered. And this is the problem with older players. You know, I talk about it all the time at running back and wide receiver especially. Like, people were pushing back when I said I would move off of Adam Thielen. And a reason for it is older players are going to wear down. The NFL is a marathon, man. And if you are 28 years old, 29 years old, 30 years old at running back, and you know you get hurt, the recovery isn't as fast. I mean, it's never fast for like these hammies, but the older you get, the slower that recovery is. It's like me after a hangover. That recovery, man. But Adam Thielen is 33 years old. Like, the older players don't win you fantasy championships, unfortunately, at running back and wide receiver. So that's the thought process there. There's no sell window on Aaron Jones, by the way. That's not what I'm trying to say here. Oh, Christian Watson looked like a knee issue. He came off the field, was in some pretty bad pain. So we will have to talk about Romeo Doubs, who still is widely available, and Jaden Reed. They both found the end zone in this game. Luke Musgrave also banged up, but I don't think there's really going to be any value there after if Musgrave does miss any time. Moving on to the Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, man. 31-17 for the Chiefs. Mahomes, 424, four passing scores. And spreading the ball around. I mean, Kelce got his 12 for 179 in a score, but Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 3 for 84 in a score. Rashee Rice, 5 for 60 in a score. And even Pacheco getting in the mix. I like that he had 4 catches, 4 for 28 and a score. Pacheco, 17 touches here. Didn't do much on the ground, but saved a good fantasy day thanks to that performance there as a pass catcher. As far as the routes run are concerned, this is pretty important stuff. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 33. Rashee Rice, 28. Sky Moore, 26. Rashee Rice ran the second most routes. Justin Ross, 9, and had no involvement in the game whatsoever. If you're still holding on to him, I have no idea why. Kadarius Toney, 8. If you're still holding on to him, I have no idea why. And Mecole Hardman, 7. Maybe we see him ramp up. I mean, he already knows the offense, so it's not a matter of that. I just think they're going to use him as a gadgety guy. Like, he was targeted 3 times in his 7 routes, but I think he's just, we know how he's going to be used in that offense. So Rashee Rice trending up. On the other side, it was not a good outing for Justin Herbert. The Chiefs defense is pretty good. 259 and a score, 2 interceptions. Herbert did love himself some Joshua Palmer. 5 for 133. We'll talk about him tomorrow. Not panicking on Keenan Allen. 4 for 55. Not panicking on Austin Eckler. I think there's actually a buy low window here. 14 for 45 on the ground. And then just 1 catch for 1 yard. It was a little bit of a surprise that he didn't perform well. But buy low, baby. Buy low. All right, let's round it out with Sunday Night Football. It ended up being a very entertaining game. It wasn't a shootout game for much of it, and Philly really controlled the action. They won 31-17 over Miami. Let's talk on the Miami side first. Tyreek Hill didn't top 100 yards, but he did top 10 catches. He had 11 for 88 and a score, so he was fine. Jalen Waddle was banged up, but got 6 for 63. Raheem Mostert did not reach double-digit carries. We knew that it was going to be a tougher matchup. Don't freak out over this, but, you know, 9 for 45. What can we do? As far as the backfield is concerned, 25 snaps for him, 18 for Savon Ahmed, just 7 for Jeff Wilson. We are now 2 games away from Devon Achane's return. So we're getting closer. We're inching our way towards that. To the better days will be ahead. The Eagles played really effective football, especially along the defensive front in this game. Made it really tough for that offense to operate. Jalen Hurts, 279-2, and of course got in with the brotherly shove. 11 for 21 and a score on the ground. Big fantasy day for him. Rock solid. A.J. Brown rolling 5 straight games with 125-plus, 10 for 137 and a score. Dallas Goedert, 5 for 77 and a score. Devontae Smith, 4 for 49. If you drafted him, I was asked, what do we do? What can he do? I mean, we're going to keep using him, and he's going to stay on rosters. There's no reason to sell him here. I mean, that just goes contrary to everything out there if you're going to try and sell this dude. DeAndre Swift. Looks solid on the ground. Honestly, at times reminds me of Brian Westbrook in that offense. I know it's like similar, you know, the same jersey that lends itself, but I see a little bit of that to him. 15 for 62, solid enough on the ground, and then caught 3 for 13. The problem was that the touchdown went to Kenneth Gainwell. Is what it is. Not much we can do there. But Swift's still the lead back in this backfield. In terms of participation, snaps, he played 47 snaps. That was 70%, just under 70%. And then Kenneth Gainwell played 21, which is 31%. So, you know, he's still clearly the lead. One other thing I wanted to touch on here before I get out of here today. So we are now through the halfway point, right? 7 weeks out. I mean, after tonight's game, 7 weeks down, 14 regular season weeks in most of our fantasy football leagues. I know not all of them are like that, but most of them are. If you are sitting there and you got a winning record, all right, cool. You know what you're doing, and your mindset is in the right place. If you have a losing record, you're 3-4, you're probably not freaking out. If you're 2-5 or 1-6, maybe even 0-7, if you're 0-7, you're still listening to this podcast. Shout out to you. But if you've only won one or two games, it may seem like it's the end of the world. But think about it like this. How do we win fantasy leagues? We win them by making it to the playoffs and then not losing in the postseason, right? That's how we win leagues. So our number one focus right now is not on being the best regular season team. It's on making the postseason. And if you are 2-5 right now, and I am in a league, it's not time to panic. It's not time to give up. It's not time to freak out. It's not time to say, well, this just isn't my year. It's time to keep going. Keep making diligent start-sit decisions, working the waiver wire, not freaking out, not panic trading our entire roster away just to shake things up. None of that. You're not out of it at 2-5. All you have to do is make the postseason. Like, you could go 12-2 in the regular season and lose. Well, you might have a bye, but lose in your first playoff matchup, and what the heck did it matter that you went 12-2? Doesn't matter at all. So don't get too panicky if your record isn't amazing right now. This season is far from over. We aren't even in November yet. We're going to hit November. We still have 7 more weeks to go in this regular season. And, I mean, hey, going 7-0 in that span, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's not very probable. It would be awesome if it happened and then you're 9-5 all of a sudden. But you don't even need to do that to make the postseason. You know, you need to flip your record over the next 7 games if you're 5-2. You got to go, or you're 2-5. You got to go 5-2 in the next 7 games, and you'll probably make the postseason in most leagues. You're not out of it yet. If you're not mathematically eliminated, keep pushing, man. It's not over. It doesn't matter that you're 2-5. Like, it's actually not a bad record because it doesn't matter. All that matters is we got to position ourselves to get in the postseason. And we can still do that. So a little motivational talk right there. Now I'm going to go back to my home in a van down by the river. All right, at Jeff Rackliff on Twitter, at Jeff Rackliff on Instagram, and FTNFantasy.com. I'll catch you tomorrow. We'll break down the waiver wire for you on the podcast. Until then, I'm Jeff Rackliff, and I'm out.